Enemy Radio.
Here we go with show 4. This is about my 6th attempt at recording just the intro to the show, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm fucking hungover to bits. I'm actually dying. I wrote a bit of a wheel and all earlier, and I couldn't even finish it. That's how bad I feel today. I'm recording this on, what day is it? The 14th of, what is it, June? I haven't a fucking clue where I am. That's how bad I am. The 14th of June. It's 11:15 at night. And my missus is still away in Poland. She's due back tomorrow. And I was supposed to go out a couple of times during the week with a friend of mine, Keith. And it just never materialised. With all the shit that went down with the flood and stuff like that in the pub, nothing happened. So I decided last night I was going to have a few pints. I didn't really decide till about 10:30, 11:15, so it was getting kind of late. But I made a few phone calls, sent out a few texts, nobody biting. Everybody's like, oh, I'm at home. Generally, just not arsed. So I decided, fuck, I'll go down to the pub, because it's generally a couple of the regulars that I get on with, and God knows fucking what's going on down there. So went down to the pub, had a few pints, had a few more pints, had a few smokes, had a few more pints, had a bit of a yap, talking bollocks with the lads, you know. Then I had a few more pints, and then I had a few more pints before I went home. And I got home, I don't know what time I got home, I walked home from Thomas Street to North Strand, which it's not that bad. It's bad enough that when you're locked. And I brought one of the lads from the boozer, Barry, I brought him back with me, just because it was either come back here and crash here for the night, or he's going to have to cycle to Talla at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And that doesn't sound too pleasing. It doesn't sound great at all. So came back here, we had a pint in the gaff, and the usual, ended up playing guitar, acting the bollocks, went to bed, woke up at 10 o'clock this morning. I thought it was all right. You hear that? Lads outside the door. Fantastic. But I thought it was all right at 10 o'clock this morning. And I kind of rolled over, and the minute I moved, I must have just upset the fucking alcohol that was just lying in wait in me fucking jeans. And, oh, fuck, this wave of just fucking illness passed over me, and I had to get up to go for a slash, and it was fucking awful. It just dragged me body to the jar. I should have just wet the bed, to be honest with you. That's how bad it was. I should have just fucking pissed the bed. It would have been easier to clean that up when I was feeling a bit better than it would have been to just walk into the toilet. But I done the deed anyway, got back into bed, and I woke up then about 12:30, and I'm fucking feeling rough ever since. I'm actually sitting here drinking pints of fucking water. And I know you're supposed to drink water, aren't you? They say that you're supposed to drink loads of water. I don't know. It doesn't taste like anything, does it? It's like drinking air. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. But I've been feeling like shite all day. I couldn't eat anything. And just a miserable fucker all day. So earlier on, I ordered pizza. I've been having awful trouble recently. I'm going to light a smoke. It's the only way I survive water and cigarettes. And I've been having awful trouble recently with the pizza delivery. And I used to always order Mazzoni's, just because there's a fucking Mazzoni's everywhere, you know. Every area has a Mazzoni's. It's like the best of a bad bunch. 4-star is fucking horrible. It's rubbery old nonsense. It's disgusting. Domino's, I don't know what the fuck is in Domino's. It doesn't make any sense when you're eating it. It's horrible. It's like eating like a fucking cloud. Slightly cheesy, greasy cloud. I got Mazzoni's there the other day. And what arrived, it was manky. The cheese was like white. It was melted, but it was completely white. And it didn't taste like anything. I was eating it, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I can't taste anything. Like, there was no sauce. The bread was just bleh. The dough was bleh. The cheese had zero flavour. It was absolutely... It tasted like what do they call it, analog cheese. They put it on some of the like the really crappy kind of Lidl and Aldi pizzas. It's analog cheese, it's just milk solids and food dye. Like, it's just, it melts and it looks a bit like cheese. It doesn't really taste like anything though, like filler. So I rang them and I said, listen, I'm after having a delivery of a pizza. I need someone to come back up and take it back. And the woman on the phone, she didn't understand me, you know. So she's asking me, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? And I'm there, this thing is fucking horrible. This is fucking disgraceful. I said, it doesn't taste like anything. There's no taste, no flavour. And like, someone said it to me today that I'm one of these people that, like, if I was eating garlic bread, unless it's really, really garlicky, then I'm not happy. And that doesn't make any sense to me. If I'm ordering garlic bread, it should taste like fucking garlic. It shouldn't be just bread with like a little bit of something on it that doesn't taste like anything. That's like, food is fucking expensive, you know. If you're going to order out, you're going to get stuff delivered to your house. It's expensive. Pizza over here is fucking crazy money, you know. Like, you could spend fucking €15 on a medium pizza. That's madness. And I rang them, told them, listen, you need to come up, take this back. And fair enough, they sent the dude up, they gave me a refund on it and took it back. So I wrote him a big letter, a big fucking email. I said, listen, I'm not fucking happy about this. I've been eating your pizza for years. It's the best of a fucking bunch. What arrived in the door was basically inedible. It was horrible. So fair enough, the Mazzonis, they said, listen, we're really sorry. We were trying out a new type of cheese and we're giving you a €20 credit fucking voucher for your next order. So fair fucks to them. But 2 weeks previous to that, I ordered some, Pizza Hut delivery. And what arrived was fucking outrageously bad. And again, didn't even eat it. I didn't ring them, I should have rang them to come and take it back. That's my new thing now. I'm sick of fucking the culture in this country where nobody complains about anything just because they think it's bad form. If something's fucking wrong, complain about it, or else they're not going to change. Somebody said the other day, like, garbage in, garbage out. So if they're going to continue making food to sell at premium prices out of shite, and it tastes like shite, don't eat that shite. It's that simple. Don't eat shit food. It doesn't matter whether it's good for you or bad for you. If you're making the decision to have a bag of chips is not particularly good for you. But if you're going to go and like put that grease and that poison into your body just for the couple of minutes of enjoyment you get out of it, that bag of chips better be fucking good. That better be a fucking great bag of chips, because you're getting the same amount of shite and harm and grease and oil off a crap bag of chips. So you might as well get a good one. And I feel the same about fucking everything now. And I'm not going to turn into one of these pricks who complains and gives out about fucking everything and returns everything because it's not particularly perfect. If the effort is there, that's grand. But if something's not right, if I paid for a fucking margarita pizza, which is just dough, sauce and cheese, if it's missing one of those things, I got a pizza before with no sauce on it. It just had cheese on it. What the fuck? What the fuck? And that wasn't, there's three ingredients in the cheese pizza and the sauce wasn't there. And it's not like they charged me two-thirds of the money. So I'm just at the stage now where I'm going to fucking give out about shit. I'm going to send it back. And I'm going to, if everybody done that, we'd be in a fucking better position for delivery food. And same with drinks. If you go to a fucking bar and a pint of something, it's like £6. Fuck that. Give it back to them. Say, I'm not paying fucking £6. Refuse to pay it. And go somewhere that's a reasonable price. And until that happens, Irish people have no cause... to give out about anything. If you're just going to fucking take it, then you've no right to give out about fucking anything. And the same goes for politics. I'm not particularly a political person. I don't keep up with politics. What I hear is what I hear in the pub, and half of that could be bollocks. I have no idea. And not just Irish politics, world politics. I have much more knowledge on Bigfoot than I do about politics. It just doesn't interest me whatsoever. But I feel like I should know more about it, and I'm going to do my best to kind of just get a little bit more information into my brain about that. Because again, there's no point in me giving out about fucking welfare and health and fucking the state of the roads when I haven't a clue about what's going on. So everybody needs to be informed. Everybody needs to fucking pull up their britches a bit and do some fucking learning. it's madness. It's Friday night in North Strand. I'm in my house, upstairs in my house. And this microphone is so sensitive, it's picking up people walking by in the street outside. I could hear the neighbours giving out to each other earlier as well. It's not great fun either. I don't want to hear what the neighbours are saying or doing to each other. I'm sure they don't want to hear what the fuck we're doing to each other in here either. But I'm going to play some music as always. I'm going to talk about technology. And one of the reasons I'm going to talk about technology is that I was talking to a friend of mine. He's one of the regulars, one of the DJs in the pub. Martin, his name is. And Martin is a scientist. And really fucking weird. He's a scientist. We call him Astro Martin. I don't know whether he's a fucking an astrophysicist. I don't know what the fuck he does. He tries talking to me about it. And I have a passing interest in stuff like that. But I don't know anything about it, really. I've read a couple of books, but they were fucking, they're like retard books, layman's books. But I was talking to Martin, and Martin's going to come on the show in a couple of weeks. He's over, to the best of my knowledge, he's over working on the Large Hadron Collider at the moment, which is amazing. He brought me back a part of it a couple of weeks ago. I have it in the pub, and he brought me back an old part of it, some super vacuum chamber thing to deal with the Large Hadron Collider. So he's going to come in a couple of weeks, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of fun, and we're going to watch some old movies beforehand, and Martin is going to give us kind of realistic explanations and as to the technology used in these movies. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to do Ghostbusters, and I've already talked to this I've already talked to Martin about this in the past. And Martin is basically at the moment trying to figure out if it would be possible to put together a Ghostbusters proton pack. He can't do it, obviously, because it would cost a fortune. But he's trying to, like, theoretically work out, you know, what you would need to do something like that. Not necessarily capture ghosts, but to shoot kind of beams of fucking ionized fire across rooms. And he said something to me about lasers a couple of weeks ago. But he's going to work on the whole thing and give it to us in really simplistic terms as to if you wanted to achieve the technology in Ghostbusters now, what you would need. And we'll do that with a couple of other movies. I don't know what we'll do yet, but if you have any suggestions, get in touch. I'd love to hear what people what movies they want Martin to kind of dissect. And but one of the things, like I said, I'm going to talk about technology. The amount of bullshit I have in my house. I made a little list earlier, just off the top of my head. And just the gadgets and technology that are in my house that I don't think I could live without in one way or another. I have an Xbox 360. I have an old Xbox. I bought a PS2 today. I actually had three PS2s. I still have them in the house here. And I have the AV cables for them. I have the controllers, the memory cards, the consoles themselves. But of those three PS2s that I have in the house, I did not have one single fucking power supply. Not one power supply. So I had it's fucking such a pain in the balls. So I found this place in the Mingle Market on Thomas Street. There's a little shop called Retropolis, and a guy who sells retro video game gear. So I asked him, listen, have you got the power supply for a PS2 Slim? And he said, no. He said, but I do sell complete packages, a whole PS2 for €25. So I was like, fuck it, give me it. So now I have four PS2s and one power supply for all of them. But the reason I got a PS2, I used to have a PS2 years ago, but the reason I got one, it was for one particular game called Shadow of the Colossus. And apparently it's one of the best games ever made. It's fucking fantastic. I never played it before. And I got a copy of that off him, thankfully. And I turned it on, I wired everything up, and I turned it on today. And it's fucking infuriating because I'm so used to playing the Xbox 360 where everything feels in the controller feels a particular way and it responds in a particular way. And you go, then you use some technology from fucking, I don't know when the PS2 came out. Like what, 12, 13, 14 years ago, something like that. And you got to play this fucking console and this game and it's sluggish, it doesn't react well, it fucking looks kind of shitty. You know, I'm sure it looked amazing back in the day, but it looks fucking terrible now. It's close to impossible to play. It's my biggest issue. I'm gonna persevere because apparently it's fucking amazing. So I'm gonna persevere. I'm gonna follow through with that. I've got a HDMI Android computer. I know that's a mouthful, isn't it? It's basically, it looks like a little USB key or a USB stick, but instead of a USB connection, it's got a HDMI connection. And you plug it into the back of your TV, and you plug a mouse into it, or you get a wireless controller. And you switch your TV onto the HDMI channel, and it's an Android computer. And it's fucking amazing. It's got like 8 gigs of memory built in, which you can run an external hard drive into it, or it's got a mini SD or a micro SD slot. I bought like a 16 gig mini SD card, lashed that into it. I can download all my torrents onto there, and I can watch everything in like high def through this little computer. And I can also like watch YouTube on the TV and stream movies, whatever you can do on a laptop. I can now do it to my giant fucking TV. It's not that giant, it's a 42 inch, which is pretty big. A funny story about the 42 inch TV, my father found it down a lane. It's a fucking plasma screen. And he found it down a lane about 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. And he works for Dublin Corporation. He's a corporate man in the cleansing division. And he's always getting calls, you know, like, oh, and just loads of bags of rubbish down this fucking lane, or such a shop has left fucking 1,000 black bags outside, and la la la. And he got a call down by Grange Gorman one day, saying there was a lot of weird shit down the lane, just sitting there in the middle of the lane. So he went down, and there was a fucking 42-inch TV there. So he brought it home, and I stole it, because he wouldn't know the difference between a fucking 10-inch screen and a 42-inch screen. So that's the TV I use now. What else have I got? I've got 3 laptops. One running Windows and 2 running Linux. Loads of hi-fi stuff. I bought a new CD player yesterday. I bought what's called a Pioneer PDS-801, which is like an audiophile CD player. And I always thought like a CD player was a CD player, you know, it's just, you fucking open the tray, you throw in the CD and you press play and it plays the music. I didn't know there was differences with like circuitry and stuff like this. And now I've learned a little about it since I've started putting this hi-fi together. And I got lucky with this Pioneer system. I found it on adverts, and I think the guy wanted 140, I got it for like 120 and he delivered it. It's fucking amazing. I didn't think CDs could sound like that. And you loaded the CDs upside down. It's really fucking weird. The tray it's got this like stable platter fucking tray that the CDs sit into. And you load them in upside down, and I don't know whether the disc spins or the fucking laser spins around it, but it sounds fucking amazing. What else have I got? Loads of random shit. PC monitors. Just literally an old hi-fis and bits of microphones, like this new thing, and external hard drives and USB fucking guitar ports and guitar amps. Just technology everywhere. And I don't know whether I could ever live without it. You know, my girlfriend could live without it. She to be honest, she'd probably live in a fucking forest or something. That's be more her bag, you know. She's no interest in technology or like watching TV or movies. The only thing she watches is a Game of Thrones, and that's about fucking it. She'd rather be reading a comic and walking the dog around the park, like. But for me, I have to have fucking technology. I love gadgets. I love gizmos. I'm a bastard for it. Every couple of weeks, I have to buy myself something new just to fuck with it. I've gone through it all: tablets, MP3 players, fucking little fucking book readers, e-book reader things. I've gone through it all. But I don't think I could live without it. And I was thinking about this today, just looking around, there's just so much fucking shit in the house, you know. Every corner has some sort of something that you plug in. And I thought, if I removed it, what would I do? Now, I could read a book, I could read some comic books or whatever, I could draw, I could do whatever, but to be honest with you, I'd rather watch fucking telly. Just because I get so little time to do these things, that the thought of just sitting down, turning my brain off and just watching moving pictures is much more appealing to me than sitting there and fucking reading a book or trying to actually clean the house, you know. I clean the pub enough. Fuck, I'm not cleaning the house. I do stuff in that pub that I'd never do at home. But anyway, let's play a song. We're 19 minutes in. I'm going to play a hip-hop song, a rap song for the boys. I like rap. I like hip-hop. I don't like all of it, but I don't like all fucking punk either. It gets a hard time, but I think when it's done well, it can be fantastic. I think it's a really pure form of music. This is a group called Jedi Mind Tricks, and this song is called When All Light Dies, and they're from Philadelphia. I think 2 Italian-American guys, I think. I'm not 100%, I must actually check that out. But I have a lot of their albums, they're really good. It's real kind of dark hip-hop. But yeah, this is Jedi Mind Tricks, When All Light Dies. Yeah.
proper pillin' zone. My voice alone will fucking chill your bones. The AR-15 beam leave you still a stone. I'm working 24-7 while you chill at home. I'm on the block with my people where the killers roam. I'm in the killer zone where police can trap me. I'm ready to go to war with them like we Iraqi. We in the last days, only darkness passes. No more pure air, only bloody muddy ashes. Yeah, you need to recognize the guard is set. Cause I was born inside of Egypt near the Gaza Strip. Don't make me cock the fifth and put the flame to one. And thug it out like the Israelis and Iranians. Remember when I put the pen to pad. When I heard Star Wars by Lakem Shabazz. Then in the lab, everything was constructed with stoke. And y'all know that no one fucking with us is a crook.
When all the light goes out, where will you be? When the darkness comes, what do you see?
When
all the light goes out, where will you be?
When
the darkness comes, what do you see?
I'm a cannibal corpse, 38 snubs, splatter your thoughts. Skin off of your body like animal claws. I'm the reason for the Carthage and Hannibal's force. I'm the reason for the carnage and parables lost. And I put the heater right where your lungs at. And none of y'all would be around if I could bring pun back. You want the horror call, Vinny, he brung that. Along with the 44 militant gun rap. I break bread with the brothers I trust. Cause I know that if I'm ever in some trouble, they boss could never be us. We too old for the rap now. Anybody with a tape recorder can rap now. I pull a 12-gauge shot of you back down. And then the last thing you hear is the cat sound. From the city where they frame Mumia. We gon' break them out, run up with them flames and heaters.
When all the light goes out, where will you be? When the darkness comes, what will you see?
When
all the light goes out, where will you be?
When
the darkness comes,
I'm a biological terrorist. If you ain't been in war, then you don't know what terror is. You try to help people, but do nothing like therapists. It's basic rules to the game, cousin, you never snitch. Or you can see the type of lead that my Beretta spits. Or take you to the torture chamber and behead the bitch. Yeah, I put your body to the blades of choppers. And teach you about the disruptive symbol of chakras. If you believe what they telling you, the beast in them won. That's why I speak about survival and need for a gun. I stand for what them thugs is repping. But they don't know the government is using drugs as weapons. And drug injections was taught by the prophets before. About the cavalry and shadowy prophets of war. It's all the grip, so I spit it at different degrees. But the inner earth holds more water than seas.
Jedi Mind Tricks, When I Light Dies. That's off the album Servants in Heaven, Kings in Hell. I think they've got a couple. That album's actually old enough now, maybe 10 years old, and they've put out a few more since. And the rapper guy Vinny Pazienzo, he has like solo albums, which doesn't make any fucking sense to me. When it's him and the DJ, like, doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I suppose the big kind of punk rock news this week, there's loads of big punk rock news every week, but the big one that affected me most, and the one that I read up about most, was the singer from the Kings of Nothing died. He apparently, the reports are that he killed himself, he threw himself off a bridge. His name was Tor Skoog, and is a band I really, really fucking like. I've always, since the first time I heard them, been mad about them. The weirdest combination, like swing music, rockabilly, punk, everything. All their shows were, I never got to see them. They never came over here. Apparently they done some gigs. I think they might have played in the UK once. Their bassist is a French guy, so I think they played a lot of gigs in mainland Europe. But apparently the gigs were infamous. They used to, as part of the pre-show requirements, they'd order like a full-size piano, and at the end of the show they'd set it on fire. Apparently they're banned from half of the places they play. They only kind of played a venue once before they were turfed out for fucking wrecking the place. And I suppose as a punter or a band, that's great crack, but like from my point of view, having a venue, that's not particularly great fun either. But at the same time, you're talking about kind of a showman band, you know, where the live performances are more important than the recorded stuff. But I always, the Kings of Nothing for me were kind of a once in a lifetime kind of band. I don't know whether there will ever be anybody like that, that has that kind of intensity and skill. There was no weak link in that band. Everybody who played was fucking fantastic. They even had like what they call a skiffle board, like the washing board fucking thing, dude, with one strapped to his chest, playing it with the sewing thimbles and stuff like that. Like a legitimate Mumford and Sons, like the real deal, as opposed to being watered down fucking shite. But yeah, the poor bastard fucking obviously had enough and threw himself off a bridge, so the reports go. Apparently, from talking to a couple of people who knew him, apparently he was a weird chap to begin with. He used to go missing for weeks on end. They'd find him sleeping underneath bridges and stuff like that, you know. He kind of wanted to be a hobo. And he'd kind of just get mildly drunk for a couple of months and live homeless. And show up, play gigs, wearing the stuff he'd been living in for the last couple of months. He'd go missing before a gig, and they'd have to send cars out looking for him down alleyways in Boston. And they'd find him and pour him into the car and pour him onto the stage, and he'd do the job, and then he'd just take the money, take the gargle, and go missing after the show. I don't know whether he'd been doing that in recent years, but that was the legend of Tor Skoog. So I think, before I talk any more shit, I'm going to play a Kings of Nothing song. I'm going to play a song called Nailhead, and it's off an album called Fight Songs. So this is, I suppose, his own song for Tor.
Wish he had 60 songbirds running. Fucking jerking and taking an L-head to bed. What she don't say? What she don't say? She said you better stop running with that goddamn L-head, because this little lady needs some of a loving too. You better figure it out, or I'm gonna screw. I said you better figure it out, or I'm gonna screw. I said you better figure it out, or I'm gonna screw.
Kings of Nothing, Nailhead, off Fight Songs, like I said. Terrible shame that poor bastard is gone, that we're never going to hear his voice again with new records, which is horrific for me, being a massive fan. So tonight, The Breeders played in Vicar Street, and they're probably still playing now, and it's only 11:45, but I'm at home. I worked earlier on today, so I was done. I was able to go home because I have to get up stupid fucking early in the morning to go to the airport to collect me missus. But from the minute we opened the door at 5 o'clock, the place was fucking packed of people going over to the Breeders, and it's this weird kind of symbiotic relationship that Thomas House has with Vicar Street, and I'm sure loads of the other bars on Thomas Street has. I don't think if Vicar Street wasn't there, I don't think half the other businesses would be there now, to be honest with you. Everybody feeds off Vicar Street's kind of energy and the gigs they put on there, and it's a shame because I don't think Vicar Street are putting on enough gigs. I don't think there's enough gigs doing the rounds of that that need that capacity of a venue. It's weird looking at Biohazard. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and who knows Biohazard but doesn't know really anything about them, just knows the name and the size of the band. And I said, if I told you where that Biohazard are coming to Dublin, what venue do you think they would be playing in? And one or two of them said the fucking O2, one or two of them said like at least Whelan's, one or two of them said maybe the Academy. You know, we're talking big venues. Someone said Vicar Street. They're coming in October and they're playing fucking Fibber McGee's. Biohazard are playing Fibber McGee's. Doesn't make any fucking sense at all. It's a great gig for Fibbers to get. I just think Fibbers is too fucking small for Biohazard. It's very, very weird. Now, I'm sure it's going to be a sellout and the place will be fucking packed, but I don't think it's going to be very enjoyable for people there, to be honest with you. Just because the layout of Fibbers is really weird. So, unless you're kind of dead set in the middle and you're happy enough about getting crushed and not moving, you're not going to be able to see the band or hear them properly. You're going to be stuck in some fucking alcove or maybe closer to the fucking bar where you can see nothing. Maybe it'll get moved, I doubt it. But they have Strife supporting them. And I'm probably more excited about seeing Strife, to be honest with you. They're fucking amazing. And I think they have Take Offence are playing as well. They're a great band. But like I said, Breeders playing in Vicar Street tonight. And the place was packed. So also tonight was the NCAD, I think, final graduation, I think it was. And that's fucking thousands of people as well. So we were fucking out the door from 5 o'clock when we opened. And I left at 8 o'clock. Just because I'd been there since fucking 1 o'clock today. And look, the place was fucking seriously packed. But in the middle of this, as fucking always, something has to go fucking wrong, doesn't it? It's me. Something has to happen, you know? So, place is fucking packed. Loads of new faces. It's great. Loads of new faces. People seem to be enjoying themselves. They're enjoying the music, you know? They're having a nice pint. And maybe this first time they've been to Thomas House, so they haven't been there in years. They haven't seen what it's like now. And I run outside for a quick smoke, and fair enough, there standing in the doorway is a fucking junkie. That, like, full, like, if you looked up junkie, Dublin junkie in the dictionary, there'd be a picture of this fella, you know, like fucking tracksuit, grey tracksuit, all matching, the whole fucking shebang, you know, grey Adidas tracksuit. Fucking grey and black Nike Air fucking Max, the socks, the tracksuit bottoms tucked into the socks, the matching cap, Adidas cap, crutches, of course. He had to have crutches, didn't he? Can't be a fucking junkie without crutches in Dublin. Weird, I don't know where they get the crutches. Why do they need crutches? Why do junkies and fucking dipsos need crutches? Why do they always have crutches? Is there a crutch fucking shortage somewhere? Because all these lads are getting them. It's fucking... The next time you're in town, fucking tell me. Tell me if you can see a junkie without a crutch. I will hunt him down and take a photo of him. They I don't know what the story is. I know why they have them, why they need them. I have no idea. He had this fucking white shit all over his mouth. Like foaming all over his mouth. And he was goofing off in the front door, you know. So we've got all these customers and they're like fucking coming over to me going, you have fucking junkie in your doorway. So I go out and I'm like, man, you know, you can't fucking stand there, you can't be here, man, you know, you fucking go down the road or something, but you're standing in the doorway. There's people coming out trying to smoke and get in and out of the bar. It's not the greatest advertisement in the world. You're fucking goofing off there. He's getting so low, you know, his chin's nearly scraping the ground, and then wakes up kind of, then he's with it for a second or two, and then drops back down. I went out to him 3 or 4 times. Fucking, not shouting at him, I'm not a prick, I just fucking telling him you need to go. He moved into the smoking area, he moved fucking 10 steps down, started goofing off there. I sent Jason, one of the bar men, out to him. I said, listen, fucking, I'm done with him, you need to let a roar at him. Maybe if there's a couple of us shouting at him, you'll get the message. So he went out, he said, listen, fucking, it's time to go, or else we're going to have to call the cops. And the junkie says, you know, how long have I been here? He was there an hour, you know. He didn't even know. He had no concept of time. He had zero concept of time. He hadn't a fucking clue where he was or how long he'd been there. So, I mean, eventually he rolled the smoke. Took him fucking 20 minutes and then he hobbled off down the road. But just being me, fucking struggling businesses, you know, these days, I've got loads of new customers that, if they enjoyed themselves, might come back tomorrow or next week or something like that. And of course, I have to have a fucking junkie in the doorway. It's great fun. Fucking great fun all day. I know a couple of lads who went to see the new Superman movie. They're saying that it's pretty decent. So I'm hoping either tomorrow or Sunday I'm going to go out and try and see Man of Steel. I'm dubious. I'm very dubious because I don't think Superman character is going to work in movies. They've done their best to give him multiple layers and not make him as fucking flat. But it's Superman, you know. This is the first movie in and they've already had to call other Kryptonians in to fight him because who the fuck else can? So they blew their load a little bit early, I think. There's no kryptonite, there's no nothing like that. They've refined it down a little bit. So that's going to be interesting to see how that fucking turns out. There's loads of big comic book movies coming out. This Guardians of the Galaxy thing, that's next. I read some Guardians of the Galaxy years ago. I don't know why the fuck they're making a movie of it. It's supposed to be like the Avengers in the future, like the Galaxy's Avengers type of thing. I think that's the theme they're going with. But it's got a character called Rocket Raccoon. And that does exactly what it says in the tin, you know what I mean? It's a fucking raccoon that talks with a rocket launcher and laser guns and stuff. So it'd be interesting to see how they pull that off. Apparently Joss Whedon's doing that as well, or he's something to do with that as well. And the second Thor movie due out, I hated the first one, I thought it was not good. Second Captain America, there's kind of on-site photos doing the rounds at the moment. They're doing Winter Soldier, which is interesting. I'm glad they're doing that, because that's probably the best Captain America comic book story arc of the last couple of years. The only interesting one, really. Self-contained story. So that's what the second Captain America movie is about. And then it's full steam ahead for Avengers 2. There's plans for an Ant-Man movie as well. I don't know how they're going to do that. I quite like the Ant-Man character, but I don't know how the fuck they're going to do that, because he's like a wife beater and shit, you know? Like, he's not a pleasant man. So I don't know how they're going to make him into a hero. I mean, if they're going to do that, obviously they'll leave the wife beating end of it till the end or something like that. Or I don't know what they'll do. They'll make him out to be a hero, and then they'll show the kind of fall of the hero, and the Avengers need him to fucking, I don't know, jump into Galactus' nose or something, you know? Hopefully they do Galactus. I mean, everybody's been waiting for Galactus. He's the kind of penultimate bad guy in the Marvel universe, but no filmmaker seems to have the bollocks to do a big guy in a big helmet that eats planets. And they tried it in Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. I can't remember what the fuck he was, but he didn't look like a dude with a big giant helmet. I don't know how they're gonna go about that, but I suppose we're getting shorter. I'm trying to restrain my rants and raves. Then play a tiny little bit more music. I don't think five songs is enough per podcast. So I'm aiming to do 6 in this one. So we'll see. I mean, if you want more fucking shy talk, tell me. I've got pieces of paper with little fucking hints and tips of bullshit to talk about. Let me know and I will talk more. Trust me, I will talk more. Or if you want more music, I will play more music. One thing that people have said to me about the podcast so far, I mean, we're only fucking 4 shows in, this is the 4th show, is that a lot of the music I play is American, and there's logic behind that, some sort of logic anyway. Looking at the other shows that play kind of punk stuff, and not that everything I play is punk by any stretch, but that's kind of what I'm aiming for, a lot of it seems to be UK stuff. So It's not that I'm ignoring UK stuff, it just seems to be the like UK 82 and the 77 stuff seems to be kind of sewn up. There's already a show doing all that kind of gear. So I'm aiming for the slightly more left of field and maybe lesser known American punk bands. But saying that, the next band are British, and a band called Consumed, who were on Fat Wreck Records for a while. And I'll tell you a little story about Consumed after the song. This is off an album called Pistols at Dawn, and the song is called Taken on the Chin. They're a great little band, and I'll tell you a little story about them after the song. You play away in the background there, bits of noise. There you go, you're over. Alright, so while that song was playing, I was tweeting to MCD Productions because they're advertising Keith Barry, this magician guy, saying that he, you know, fucking, he's got to use voodoo to control your mind or some bullshit. So I just put an open challenge out there. I said, I will give Keith Barry €100 if you can take control of my mind. A fucking sham. Fucking sham. Shambles of a sham. Nonsense. Terrible advertising for a fucking dog and pony show. But anyway, Consumed. Consumed are an English band. They put out an EP and an album with Fat Wreck Records in the States. And they came to them then with the second full-length album. And Fat Wreck said, no. They said, we'll put out another record for you at some stage, but we're not putting this one out. They didn't like the sound of it. Apparently back then, Fat Wreck had one producer that they used for all their records. And you pretty much had to go through this guy. It didn't matter where you were from in the world. You had to go to the fucking States and record your album with this guy. Which is why most of the Fat Wreck stuff from the 90s sounds all the exact fucking same. It was a good sound for that music, but if you wanted something slightly different, you were kind of fucked. I think something like that happened to Mixed Witch or something like that. They paid a fucking fortune to go to the States and record an album with this guy. And I don't know what happened to Felt the Shit. I must look into that and see if I can get an official word on from those lads about it. Because it would be an interesting story. But they said no, we're not putting this album out. So they found some other record label to put it out, and it's a great fucking album. But they broke up. They broke up a couple of years ago, and apparently they had their kind of farewell show booked in some venue in England, and people travelled from all over the world because they weren't mega popular, but they were known in that kind of Californian fucking skate punky kind of scene, you know. They were liked. I think they had a song on one of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater games on the PS2, if I remember correctly. But so they booked this venue for their final show, and they get there, and they find out that the promoter has double booked the show, and the gig that has been double booked with is mega popular as well, and it's a Metallica tribute band. And I don't know who the Metallica tribute band, some English fucking Metallica covers band or whatever. So for Consume's final gig, and people travelled all over the world to see their last performance, they ended up playing a half an hour slot as support to a Metallica tribute band. And that was the last time they ever played, I think, together. I think some of the lads have gone out to form other bands. If anybody's interested, I could dig out those bands, I'm sure, and play some of them. But yeah, like I said, the vast majority of the music I'm going to be playing is American. Not because I think it's better. Just because on Radioactive International, there are shows that deal with a lot more straight ahead punk than me. So they're going to be playing a lot more UK stuff. And European stuff. And Irish stuff. I know Derek on this show rocks. He's done a couple of specials with just Irish bands, which is great. And at some stage I might throw some in. But for the time being, when I'm going through my fucking playlists and I'm going through the songs that I want to play, at the moment, it's mostly American stuff jumping out with me. I mean, I could start playing some fucking Exploited and The Business and stuff just to fill in the time, but I'd be fooling myself. Even though I like those bands at the moment, I'm not feeling them for the vibe of the show. So at the moment, I've got three more songs down that I want to play. Two of them are kind of punk rockish, or at least rocky anyway, and one of them is not at all. One of them is a Stevie Wonder song. It's a famous Stevie Wonder song. It's Superstition. And the version I have, I don't know whether he had multiple versions, but the album I have it on is called Original Muse Aquarium. And that just weirds me out a bit. I mean, Stevie Wonder is blind, and like the cover is just a load of fish, and it's called Muse Aquarium. And like, I can understand like a blind person having a dog or a cat, you know, you can rub them, you know, or a pet monkey or something. You could do stuff for him. But a fish. Like, does Stevie Wonder even know what a fish looks like, you know? Like, has he ever picked one up and, you know, rubbed his finger on its face and said, it's weird, isn't it? And they went, yeah, Stevie, man, that's a fish. And he goes, fuck yeah, I'm into them. I'm going to name an album after these fish. I just find it weird that a blind dude would name his album after an aquarium, call it Muse Aquarium, and the cover of it is loads of tropical fish. When he is, I doubt he has any experience with fish. Are you allowed to do that? Because you go into a pet shop, and like Stevie Wonder goes into a pet shop, he's like, you know, I want something for the gaff. You know, and he, you know, a bit of a friend for the gaff, and they're like, oh, what about a puppy? And he's like, nah. What about a fucking spider there? He goes, oh, I don't like spiders. What about a cat? Nah, I'm allergic to cats. He's like, what about a fucking lizard? Ah, I'm not into them, man. It's too much looking after. Too much looking after them, you know. You need the tank and the heater and all that type of gear, you know. And he bumps off something. He goes, what the fuck is that? And they go, it's fish. He goes, what the fuck is a fish? He goes, it's a fish, man. You know, like, they swim around. They swim around in the water. He goes, yeah. He goes, what do they look like? I don't know. They're small and they have, like, fins. He goes, what the fuck is a fin? And they say, oh, fuck it, just stick your hand in. And he sticks his hand in, he rubs the fish. And he goes, oh, I like the look of that one. So he goes, well, you can't just have one, you know, you have to have loads of them if you're going to have an aquarium. He goes, aquarium? Jeez, that's a good name. So he just rubs a load of fish, rubs their faces and the rest of them, you know. Doesn't need to ask what colours they are, doesn't matter. So he goes, yeah, I'll have them 20 of them. He goes, I'm going to call me next album or this compilation, I'm going to call it Muse Aquarium. That'd be fucking deadly. So, yeah, Stevie Wonder. I don't know how he likes fish, but apparently he likes fish. I think I'll play that now, actually, will I? Yeah, I'll play that now. I fucking love Stevie Wonder, by the way. I think he's one of the most talented fucking humans to ever walk on this planet. I'm taking the piss out of him now, but I fucking love him. He's fantastic. He's so good. Shocking. But yeah, play Superstition off Original Muse Aquarium. Here we go. We'll be right back. How good. It's fucking, I'm sitting here listening to that with my new fancy headphones that I paid stupid amount of money on, and the headphones are so good that I'm hearing parts of songs that I never heard before, and even stupid shit like just after, like the engineer kind of unmutes the channels before the saxophones kick in, you can hear the little clicks and the guys kind of breathing in the background. That's how good these headphones are. But little known fact about me, when you play Stevie Wonder, I am the greatest dancer in the world. Oh yeah, I can't help it. It's the hips start going. I can't. It's just in me. The music gets in me when somebody plays a bit of Stevie. I don't know what it is. Like me Elwyn, with fucking, I don't know what me Elwyn listens to. Garth Brooks or something. She'd be the same now. If you play like Garth Brooks or Roy Orbison, she'd be boogieing around the kitchen. You know, I'm the same with Stevie Wonder. The officially awards and all, I have fucking just trophies all over the gaff for my dancing. Shocking. Like that's just, I never got a lesson in my life. Just naturally had it. You know. It has to be Stevie Wonder song, otherwise it just looked like a fucking dying kangaroo or something. But talking about drinking earlier, even though I have a pub, I'm not a big drinker. I'm not a huge drinker. I could go months without having a pint. As a rule, I will kind of have a beer when I'm doing Damaged in the pub, which is like the DJ night thing that I do that has fucking, we play punk and hardcore noise and ska and psychobilly and stuff like that. Sometimes I'll have a point at that, but I'm not a big fucking drinker. I'm really not. I used to be a bigger drinker. I was never fucking lush or anything, you know. I was never a fucking semi-alco or dipso, but I did fucking in my youth. I think we all did, really, didn't we? And then life takes over, and you get less and less time to have the crack. Like I said it before, that I'm much more into the crack than the drinking, you know. Not the smoky crack, but the having a laugh with the gang. Like last night, great fun in the pub. I fucking paid for it this morning, you know. But it was up in Tesco the other night, and I think I said it before as well, I hate going to Tesco. I fucking hate buying stuff off Tesco. I'd rather I'd rather go to like the small independent shop and give them the money. Unfortunately, there's fucking none of them left, really. And if you were to do your shopping in small independent corner stores, you expect to spend money on petrol. You know, you're going to be driving to about 30 of them. So unfortunately, it's a necessity to go to Tesco. But the one I go to has a new homebrew section, and it's big enough. Actually, it's surprising. I was looking at it all, and it's all very interesting. I'm thinking now that I might be interested in brewing my own gargle, you know. But the problem is, I'm going to brew all this gargle. I'm not going to fucking drink it. It's just going to be a waste, isn't it? And I don't know whether anybody would drink it and I made. Because there'd be a high chance that I'd kill someone. Like, I'd easily poison somebody with something I made. Even though I'm actually floating my own boat and tooting my own whistle here now, I'm actually a decent cook. I can cook food. I'm good at it. But brewing gargle, I don't know. The science in that, you know, fucking, you know, fermentation levels and sugar levels and I don't know. But this place, they have the full range of Cooper stuff. And they do like Cooper Stout and Cooper's English Ale. And, you know, it looks interesting. But I honestly think I'd probably kill. I'd kill people if they drank it. And I know a friend of mine, Keith. When we were young, he used to brew gargle in his Jacks. I don't know where he got the stuff. I haven't a clue, but he was brewing gargle. He was brewing, trying to brew lager, you know, like a light lager. And somehow it turned out to be cider. He made cider, somehow, by putting the stuff in that said fucking lager on it. And he used to put it into bottles and go up to the old Wesley, the underage discos and nightclubs and stuff like that, and sit in the bushes and sell them bottles of his homemade piss and make a fucking fortune. And get the bus up there with a backpack full of bottles and sell them for like £2 or £3 a bottle. All the kids knew what he was like some sort of weird fucking drug dealer, except it was fucking half cider, half lager that he was selling them. Didn't bother them, got them locked. I'm fairly sure Keith was fucking responsible for loads of underage pregnancies back in the 90s. I'm almost certain of it. But we're getting close to the time here, and I've got two more songs I need to squeeze in, so I'll probably put them back to back just to finish off the night. And this will probably be Wednesday's episode of the show. I'm aiming to do two a week, like I said. The plan is to do one on a Wednesday, one on a Friday. It won't always be like that. Sometimes there will be trouble where I can't do the show, but I'll always aim to do one per week anyway. And as always, I need your input, and I want you to tell me what to talk about, and I want you to give me a dig out and give me ideas on shit to talk about. And if you want to come on the show, you want to do it via Skype, you want to fucking do an email interview, and I'll just read out your answers, you know, whichever way you want to do it. You got a book coming out, you got an album coming out, you got a new business opening. I'd fucking love to hear from you, because I'm actually interested. I'm interested in people doing things. I really am. So play two more songs, and one of them is Youth Brigade. It's called All Style No Substance, and it's off an album called Happy Hour. And the last one is one of my favourite bands in the world, is Rocket From The Crypt. Born in 69 off Scream, Dracula Scream. And I was pissed off because they were announced to play this year, and the gig has been cancelled for some reason. Now I'm hoping they come back again, because this is like the reunion tour. But I'd love to see Rock from the Crypt. I've never seen them. One of my favourite bands in the world. So here we go, and thanks for listening to Enemy Radio, and I'll talk to you again in a few days. Good luck.